Father, thank you for everything. Thank you for reminding us of this story, this Christmas story of how, Lord, you came to earth to save us, to set us free from our sins. And Lord, even during this Christmas time, we are faced with a challenge, and that is to rejoice when we are going through suffering and going through hardship during this year. And even the fact that we can't even be together. And so I pray and I do ask that you will encourage us through your word and to remind us what Christmas is all about. Lord, as Masao just prayed, that this world celebrates Christmas in a totally different way. It's all commercialized, all about the gifts, but then we remember that Christmas is all about Jesus and what he has done for us. And so, Lord, as we open up your word, that you would please speak to us and that we will be encouraged, that we will be comforted and even challenged with today's text. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have your Bible, I would invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. We will read the entire passage, but the focus or the meat of the sermon will be on verses 10 to 11. So Luke chapter 2, I'll begin by reading from verse 8. So brothers and sisters, this is God's holy and inerrant word. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Now, the title for this morning's message is this still a good news of great joy? Is this still good news of great joy? That is going to be our question. And it is an important question, especially as Christians living in the 21st century under COVID-19 restrictions. Now, sometimes good news just seems to have an expiry date. It's only good for a particular moment in time. I remember when Alice and I witnessed our daughter Alethea taking her very first steps. We were rejoicing. We were exhilarated to see her walk. And then afterwards, we just told our family members, "Hey, Alethea's walking now." And they were all joyful. They were all happy as well. However, if we were to tell them right now that Alethea is walking, then perhaps they won't respond with the same enthusiasm as they did at first. I think maybe some of us may have this attitude towards this good news of great joy that we have just read when the angel of the Lord made the announcement to the shepherds. You see, every year we're reminded of the Christmas story, of this good news of great joy that will be for all the people, and peace on earth and goodwill to men. But maybe, particularly this year, we just don't feel that joy. We just don't feel that this is good news of great joy. Therefore, I just want us to think about this question critically again. Is this still good news of great joy? Of course, we as Christians would immediately respond with a definite yes. We should not be ashamed to respond with affirmation that it is good news of great joy. However, if a non-Christian reads this announcement given by the angel to the shepherds and he or she asks you, well, I know it's written in the past, but is it still relevant for us today? Is this still good news after what's been happening this whole year? Then how would you respond without just giving a simple yes? You know, I think the Christmas play just happened, kind of preached a sermon already. Felt like I didn't need to, but I think I should do more and give further explanation. And my hope, my goal in this message is for us to look closely at this announcement that the angel made. And by doing so, I hope to give a simple yet also sensible answer to that question for us as people living in the 21st century. Now, as we just read the passage in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20, if I could get the slide, please. Not working? It's okay. See, the angel appeared to announce this news to the most unlikely group of people, the shepherds. See, the angel did not even appear to Caesar Augustus that we learn from chapter 2, verse 1. He's the emperor of the Roman Empire. He did not appear to the religious leaders like the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and lawyers. He did not even appear to an average Joe. He appeared to shepherds. Well, what's so special? What's so unique about the shepherds? Well, actually, nothing. There is nothing special about them. There is nothing unique about them. In fact, shepherds were near the bottom of the social ladder. Shepherds were uneducated. They were unskilled. They were poor. And they were unhygienic. They live in a city. They did not live in a city, but they live in a rural area of ancient Palestine. The role of the shepherd is to lead, to protect, and to feed the flock. And shepherd is often used in the New Testament as a metaphor for a pastor who leads and protects and feeds the members of the congregation. And so in this passage, as we just read, we're not told how many shepherds there were, but for certain there were at least two shepherds tending the flock by night. And Luke tells us that the shepherds, they were afraid at the appearance of an angel. They were afraid because the glory of the Lord shone around them, perhaps through the appearance of with this angel. You see, this glory was so bright, which is contrasted by the night. And Luke particularly emphasizes in the original language, in the Greek, that they were filled with great fear. They were so filled with phobia. However, the angel reassured them, "Fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. You're not looking at or talking to a ghost. I'm here to bring you an announcement. I'm here to proclaim to you. I'm here to preach to you. I'm here to announce to you the good news of great joy." Now, this is where we want to get to the meat of the message. What is this good news of great joy? Well, let's look at the original language first. See, this word good news can also be translated as the gospel. The gospel. The gospel is the good news of God's salvation of sinful humanity through the life and death and resurrection of his son Jesus Christ. And what this good news or this gospel produces is great joy. Good news of great joy. This joy, it speaks of gladness, it speaks of delight and happiness. It was a joy and gladness that Zechariah and Elizabeth experienced in Luke chapter 1 verse 14 when their childlessness finally ended. And Elizabeth was conceived with John the Baptist. But the angel is not just talking about just joy here in this passage. He's talking about great joy. It is an intense joy. A joy that is beyond any standard. Who is this good news of great joy for? Well, the angel says that it's for all people. You see, all people initially referred to Israel, since in according to Romans chapter 1, verse 16, if salvation is for the Jews first, and also to the Greek. So this message is for all people, which includes Gentiles like you and I, who are non-Jews. This message was not just for the people back then. It was not just for the Jews back then. This message is for all people, not just for the elite, the elitist, like the emperor, Caesar, or the prime minister, or those in the higher class or the upper class. This message is for all people, not just for the self-righteous religious people. It's for everyone. This message is for all people, not just for the people living in the ancient world. This includes us. It includes the people living in the 10th century, the 15th century, the 18th century, 19th century, even for us, the people living in the 21st century. This message is for all people and not just for the adults. And so children, if you're listening to this message, this good news of great joy is for you as well. This message is for Christians, not just for non-Christians. And Luke explains the reason why this good news of great joy, why this is good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. He explains, it's because unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now we remember from the previous passage that Joseph and Mary, they went to Bethlehem from Nazareth to register for a census under the decree of Caesar Augustus. And Mary gave birth to Jesus in Bethlehem, as recorded in verses 6 to 7. And this all happened in the same evening. Now, don't misunderstand the angel's announcement here. He's not talking about joy or happiness in a worldly sense. The angel is not talking about, in general, about the Christmas cheers. He's not talking about the Christmas presents that you will open on December 25th. The angel is talking about, specifically about Jesus, who is the good news of great joy. He is the good news. He is the gospel that produces joy. The angel then gives details of where he is and who he is. You see, this child was born in Bethlehem, this insignificant place. And the shepherds should have known about the prophecy found in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that was prophesied centuries ago about the ruler, the Messiah, who will come forth from Bethlehem. You see, when the Bible makes prophecies in the Old Testament, they will be fulfilled because God is ultimately the author of the Bible. And when God makes promises, when God makes prophecies about the future, they will come to pass because God is not a liar. God is always consistent. He will fulfill his promises. He will fulfill his prophecies. The angel tells us about this child who was just born in Bethlehem. And we are told that he is the Savior. He is the Savior. And the word Savior means the Lord is salvation. He is the one who rescues. He's the deliverer. He's the preserver. Jesus was not born and presented as someone who will save people from their unfulfilled marriage, job loss, bad habits, poverty, illnesses, and diseases. Ultimately, primarily, he was born to be the Savior by saving his people from their sins and the wrath to come. Second thing is, he is the Christ. And the word Christ is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's the chosen one. He's the fulfiller of the threefold offices, prophet, priest, and king. He's the mediator between God and men. He's the intercessor, and he's the advocate for his people. Jesus fulfills all the expectations of the Messiah found in the Old Testament, such as Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, Isaiah chapter 52-53, 2 Samuel chapter 7, Psalm 110, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, and a host of passages in the Old found in the Old Testament that are ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Third and finally, the angel says he's the Lord. He is the Lord. He is the one who is in the position of authority. Jesus has sovereign authority over our lives. And by this title alone, God's people, like you and I, as Christians, we are his bondservant. Or a better translation, I think, is that Christians are slaves of Christ. Our lives ultimately belong to Christ. Everything that we have belong to Christ. We submit to his authority. We submit to his lordship. We obey him in everything that we do and say. See, Caesar may be the emperor in this time, but Jesus Christ is Lord over all. Justin Trudeau may be the prime minister right now, but Jesus is Lord over all. You know, Donald Trump, he is still the president right at the moment, but still, Jesus is Lord over all. Jesus is Lord over all our lives, our jobs, our marriages, everything. In addition, this title, Lord, is Jesus' divine title. And to call this child Lord is to say that he is God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the God who took on human nature. And having told the shepherds where he is born and who he is, the angel tells them how they can find this child by giving them a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And the fact that the child is lying in a manger would narrow the search for the shepherds. And one may wonder how the shepherds reacted to the fact that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem and also lying in a manger instead of being put on a pedestal or being put on in an exalted status or being placed on top of a throne. I really like the song that the children sang. Our Maker was sleeping in a manger. How profound is that? But that's where a multitude of angels showed up and praised God in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Just to put it simply, the incarnate Son of God, the birth of Jesus in a humble circumstance, gives all the glory and praise to the triune God. This is the good news of great joy that the angel announced. Jesus was born. He is the Lord. He is the Christ. He is the Savior. The King was born 2,000 years ago. Our God came into this world. But how is this good news of great joy? Is the birth of Jesus still the goodness of great joy right now, to this moment? If so, then how? As I mentioned in the beginning of my message, sometimes the good news just seems to have an expiry date. And I would not be surprised if perhaps some of us view the Christmas story every year this way. You know, some of you may think that the goodness of great joy was only for the shepherds, but not for me. The good news of great joy was only for the first century Jews, but not for me. In fact, the birth of Jesus appeared 2,000 years ago, and because of that, what relevance does his birth have upon my life? Well, let me tell you that this good news of great joy is just as good today as it was in the past. The birth of Jesus did occur in the past and only happened once, but the truth and the principle behind his birth remain unchanged and are timeless. That is the purpose of his coming. Why did he come to earth? He came to be the Savior, to be the Lord and the Christ. He came to reveal himself. God came to reveal himself on earth to save us. That was his purpose. And for us to understand and appreciate the good news of great joy, we need to understand the bad news of great despair, and that is sin. Sin is still an issue in our time. Sin is still the problem in people's hearts. If you're not a believer this morning, let me tell you, sin has separated you from a right relationship with God. You are in a wrong relationship with God, and you have expressed your sins in rebellion and unbelief towards this living God. This is the true problem of people's hearts, sin. Sin is often the cause and effect of other problems in life, like depression, anxiety, and selfishness, greediness, broken relationships, and many other things. Sin is the heart of the issue. Sin is what sends people to eternal destruction. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how religious or superstitious you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much you want to try to improve your life. They're not sufficiently close to saving you from spiritual death. Scripture tells us, "For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God." Sin is the deadly spiritual virus that is worse than the coronavirus. And the good news of great joy is for those who are convicted by the Holy Spirit of their sinfulness and their depravity when the gospel is proclaimed to them. See, when the angel announced that Jesus is the Savior, that is good news. He came to save you from your sins, to cleanse you from your sins, and to restore you into a right relationship with God. That has never ever changed. The Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. That is the good news. That is the gospel. But how does it produce joy? How is it a good news of great joy? Remember the story that Jesus gave to Simon the Pharisee in Luke chapter 7. This was in the context of, you know, a sinful woman crashing into a meal party that Jesus and the Pharisees were having. And she applied ointment on Jesus' feet, wiped it with her tears, with her hair. And then Jesus said this to Simon. A certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." And here's the point of the story that Jesus gave. "Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much." See, just as a patient is filled with joy knowing that he or she is cured from cancer or from any diseases and safe from sin or safe from death, so should a sinner be filled with joy knowing that God has forgiven this person's sin, and that this person does not need to face the flood of God's wrath, and that this person can experience a joyful and abiding relationship with the triune God. You know, the psalmist tells us in Psalm chapter 32, blessed, or it can also be translated as happy. "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Now, there may be some of you this morning who are genuine believers, who think that the good news of great joy is only applicable to the time when you became a Christian. You have received Christ in the past and have experienced the joy of having your sins forgiven. But now that the good news of great joy does not seem relevant to you as a believer. I mean, you may believe the good news, but your heart doesn't feel joyful. Maybe your Christian life isn't joyful right now. Maybe there are sins in your life that are distracting you. Maybe the world is trying to sell you a quote-unquote better joy, and you're buying into it. and your joy in Christ is waning. If that is you this morning, then remember what the scripture says about this world. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came so that you may have life and have it abundantly. John says, and the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Remember what David said, after David committed adultery with Bathsheba and Nathan confronted him, and afterwards he was very convicted of his sins and he made a confession of sin in Psalm chapter 51. In one particular confession, he asked God, or he pleaded God for this: restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. See, whenever we are distracted with sin, that joy wanes. That joy in Christ wanes. And so we got to ask God, return to God, please, Lord, restore to me this joy of your salvation. And over again in the New Testament, joy in Christ is the mark of the Christian life. Now, that doesn't mean you always, put on a smiley face before the world. You see, the biblical joy in the Bible, in the New Testament, is primarily an attitude. It's an attitude towards God in the midst of various circumstances. See, no matter what situation we are in, no matter what kind of suffering we endure, no matter what grief and sorrow we experience, there are so many reasons why the gospel of Jesus Christ can produce great joy and profound joy in our hearts as believers. Even Paul himself, he experienced so much sorrow in his life in ministry. And yet, at the same time, he's always rejoicing. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a fruit of spirit. Joy is experienced in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me share with you 1 Peter. Peter says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. You think about all the Christmas hymns that we just sang or listened to. How many times does it use the word joy and rejoice? Many times. Joy is experienced even in adversity. Peter also says this, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. See, we not only rejoice and remember the birth of Jesus on Christmas Day, which was his advent, but we also long for the day when Christ returns, which is his second advent. See, during this Christmas season, Christmas is not all about just about the birth of Christ. We need to bring him. Remember why he came. He came to save us and to die on the cross for our sins. Our Lord Jesus Christ joyfully went to the cross to redeem his bride, the church, which is us, the Christians. And should we not follow and obey him joyfully because of what he has done for us? And so for application, let's consider how the shepherds responded to the angel's announcement. They did not go back to shepherding immediately. They did not even ignore the message. You see, in verses 15 to 16, they responded by faith to God's revelation given through the angel by going to Bethlehem and seeking out this child. And perhaps that's you this morning. You need to respond by faith, by coming to Jesus by faith. You need to believe in the good news this morning. You need to believe in the good news this morning. As the angel has said, he is the Savior. He's the Lord. He's the Christ. Do you believe that this morning? You can be blessed and experience great joy if you have turned away from sin and have sought forgiveness only in Jesus and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and you will be saved. In verses 17 to 19, the shepherds responded by proclaiming to Joseph and Mary about this child. We can only assume they told them whatever the angel announced, and that is, Jesus is the good news of great joy. You know, Christmas is usually a peak season for the retail industry, for the commercial industry, as people are shopping for Christmas gifts. But I will also say that Christmas is also a peak season for the Church of Jesus Christ. And I think people are generally more receptive to church and the Christmas story found in Scripture. And so, brothers and sisters, this is an opportunity for us to tell others about the gospel that produces the great joy. It is an opportunity for you to invite your friends and family members, people, to church via live stream. Just think about it. You can just send them all of your friends an email or post on your Facebook profile or whatever social media platform that you use. Post something. Post the link to the Sunday live stream. And they can just sit at home and lay on their bed, not feel obligated to come physically to the church facility. Although that would be ideal, but at this moment, you have opportunities to share the gospel with them. And in verse 20, the shepherds responded by glorifying and praising God for this experience. And we should too. Christmas is a time for celebration and worship. It's a joyful celebration. It's a joyful worship. But there's one more thing here. The shepherds responded by returning. They returned. Returned to where? Well, to tend the flock. To tend the flock. They went back to their jobs. Well, that's quite anticlimactic. We should expect them to capitalize this experience by selling autobiographies about this event and title it Bethlehem is for real, or Jesus is for real, or something of that nature. See, these shepherds never produced courses or seminars of how to talk to an angel or see an angel. In fact, they didn't even set up a tourism to Bethlehem. And then telling people their journey of where exactly they saw Jesus and where exactly they talked to the angels. I think they just went back to being shepherds. And that's the last time we ever hear from them in the Gospel of Luke. So what can we learn? See, the good news of great joy that the shepherds have experienced and received doesn't mean that they just start living a flashy lifestyle or always expecting the Christian life to be a spiritual high. See, wherever you are in your life, the Lord commands you to trust the Lord Jesus for salvation and also everyday life. To trust in His sovereignty over your life. And what happens when you become a Christian is that He often sends you back into the mundane and ordinary lifestyle, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, growing in our understanding and deepening our understanding of the gospel. And so, brothers and sisters, is this still good news of great joy? Definitely yes. Yes, it is. Ultimately, COVID-19 should not rob you of your joy in Christ. It is time to rejoice because this is still good news of great joy. It should never have an expiry date. It is not only good news for non-Christians, but it's also good news for us as Christians. And I'm convinced that 100 years, 10 years, or however many years before the Lord returns, this will remain good news of great joy for all time, for all people, for all ages, and for all cultures. Let us all pray. Our Father, we turn to you in fear and to plead with you to restore to us the joy of your salvation and to uphold us with a willing spirit. And I pray that during this Christmas season that we would be reminded that this is really indeed good news. It's the best news in the world. It saves us from sin. And it saves us from spiritual sin. But not only save us from sin, but we're saved to you. We're saved for your glory. We're saved for a purpose, and that is to glorify you and to enjoy you forever. And so I pray this morning for everyone who is listening, that they will find great joy, deep joy, profound joy in this Christmas season because of what you have done for us 2,000 years ago. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.